All right, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. And we're going through a series called Habits of Joy. So yesterday we talked about the habit of thanksgiving. We looked at the Apostle Paul and how he always gave thanks. And every time we remember the people that he loved, he says, I give thanks to God for you. Well, today we want to look at the second habit of joy, and that is living in the moment. The joy of living in the moment. You know, nobody is to blame for your unhappiness. It is just a byproduct of how you're living your life. So many people realize that life is not that great, but some people understand I can do some things in my life to be joyful. There are some barriers, I think, that come along in the life of everyone that can kill the joy in our lives. And here's just a couple of them. Number one, I think pain can zap the joy out of your life. You know, when you're not feeling well, when there's a lot of pain, you've been injured either emotionally or spiritually or physically. Man, when pain comes, that can be a joy killer. Now, it doesn't have to be, but it certainly can be. I think another thing that comes in our lives is people, right? The prickly kind of people in our lives that come alongside us and they poke us. Somebody gave the illustration that we're like porcupines. And we come together because we need to warm each other, but then as we get close to each other, we poke each other. And there are prickly people in your life. You just got to get used to that. But don't let the prickly people in your life cause you to lose your joy. And it's easy, I know, to say don't let that happen, but I want to give you some things today that I think will help you to navigate through those prickly people in your life. There's a third thing that can really rob you of joy, and that is just pressure. The pressure and the stress of life. That pressure that's placed upon us, that anxiety that we have in our lives, that pressure of getting everything done in time, the pressure from our family, the pressure even from our church, pressure from our work, these things can press down heavy on us. The pressures of life can cause us to lose our joy. And then there's a fourth thing that can come into our life that can cause us to lose our joy, and that is problems. Life is filled with problems. I tell people often, you're always at one of three places in your life. You're either one in the middle of a problem, and that's where I stay an awful lot of time. Seems like I find myself in trouble an awful lot. You're either right in the middle of a problem, or number two, you just came out of a problem. And maybe that's where you are today, and it's good, smooth sailing for you. That problem is behind you. You're doing pretty good, but you just came out of one. Or number three, you're getting ready to go into a problem. That is life. Because of sin, there is going to be this constant pressure, constant pain, constant prickly people, constant pressure and problems in our lives. Paul tells us, whatever happens to us, whatever it is, make sure that you conduct yourself in a worthy manner of the good news of Christ. You see, the more I surrender to God, the more I give myself over to Him, the happier I will be. Well, we're at Philippians chapter 1, and let's pick it up verse number 12. I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything, I've got that underlined, everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Verse number 4, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. So here's some takeaways today on how to have that habit of living in the moment no matter what is happening. Number one, Paul says his chains advance the gospel. Believers gain confidence because he was chained up. In other words, the pain of being chained caused the gospel to be spread. Now, look at it from this problem from God's viewpoint. Paul is in a situation here. We had spent 2 years facing false charges. And listening to these false charges, he's going to Rome. On his way to Rome, he is shipwrecked. On his way to Rome, he is washed up the shore on the island of Malta, which is meaning peace, but there really is no peace there on Malta because it was cold and rainy. They built a fire in there, and Paul goes to put a stick on the fire, and a snake jumps out and bites him. He's in prison for 2 years under 24-hour guard arrest, and he has no freedom. But he's looking at this situation not from a negative standpoint, but as a positive standpoint, realizing that as far as God is concerned, everything's about the gospel. Paul wanted to go to Rome. but he probably didn't want to go under house arrest. He probably didn't want to have to experience shipwreck. He probably didn't want to have to experience being bitten by a snake. But you see, God was working behind the scenes. God wanted the gospel to go to Nero, and God wanted the gospel to go out to all those guards that were watching him. You know, every 4 hours, Paul's guard would change. If that's true, in the course of 2 years, guards changing every 4 hours, Paul had an opportunity to witness to 4,380 guards. And I know a lot of them may have been the same guards, you know, coming back for another shift, but he had that opportunity to have a captive audience. One of the reasons I love doing prison ministry is because I have a captive audience. When I go there to share the gospel with them, they're not going to go anywhere. They can't go to another church down the street. They don't have an option. They've got to listen to me. I have a captive audience. Paul says, as he's sharing the gospel in the midst of all that pain and the chains, he says, everyone here knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. So this morning, or this, as you listen to this broadcast, I want you to pray a little prayer, okay? And I want you to fill in the blank as you pray this prayer. Lord, please allow my blank to advance the gospel. I would say in that, Lord, please allow my weakness to advance the gospel. Maybe you have kind of a sickness or cancer. You could pray, Lord, please allow my cancer to advance the gospel. Lord, please allow autism to advance the gospel. Lord, please allow my layoff from my job to advance the gospel. Lord, please allow this stay in the hospital to advance the gospel. Whatever you have that setback in your life, it's not really a setback. It's a setup for God to use you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone heard the gospel. Now, Paul talks about this because he's getting some kickback, and people are like, well, it's not good that they're sharing the gospel with wrong motives. It's not good that they are driven because of jealousy of Paul, and that's why they're sharing the gospel, or they're driven it because, or they're sharing it because they think there's something they're going to get back in return. So Paul addresses that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, it is true. You know, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. That is that word talking about they love to argue. That's why they're sharing the gospel. But he says, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. And that's where Paul was. And I hope that's where I am. And I hope that's where you are. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerity, intending to make my chains even more painful to me. Paul is driving home the point. They're trying to be a thorn in my flesh. They're taking my message, the message of the gospel of Christ, and they're trying to make me miserable as they wrongly proclaim it. But he says, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Whether the motives are pure or genuine, the message of Christ is being proclaimed either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. So Paul looked at the chains as an opportunity to spread the gospel. Here's the second thing that we learn about Paul. Paul's critics advanced the gospel and heaven gained citizens. You know, never let others control your attitude. Never let them control your response. You may be attacked by people. You may be having some people come against you, but don't let that get under your skin. Don't let that get the best of you. Paul says he rejoiced. Why? Not because of how he was feeling. He rejoiced because the gospel was proclaimed. Now, some, as he pointed out, were driven by jealousy. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are still worldly, for there is jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? What is Paul saying in this passage? He's saying as they are delivering the gospel, they don't even realize what they're doing. God is using them in spite of themselves. They are jealously motivated. They are wrongly motivated. They're still worldly. But in spite of that, the gospel is being proclaimed. You see, I don't need the approvals of others to make me happy. If God is happy with me, that is all I really need. Paul rejoiced. And as he's rejoicing because he's thinking right. He says, when I'm in the middle of this trouble here, as I'm locked up in these chains, prayers are being offered up for me. He realizes that people are praying for him because he's incarcerated. He says, maybe they would be praying for me if I wasn't incarcerated. He also realizes that his incarceration has allowed him to be purely driven. Maybe others were not purely motivated, but Paul looked at his life and says, you know what? I can rejoice because my motives are pure. Paul also rejoiced because his deliverance was pending. He knew that God was sovereign. He was happy in the fact that God, in his time, was going to bring about his deliverance. Paul continues in verse number 20. He says, I fully expect and I hope that I will never be ashamed, but I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. Paul is saying, I hope that these chains don't cause me to lose my zeal. He says, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. And for me to live, he says, means living for Christ. To die is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which one's better. He says, I'm torn between the two desires. And I think that we all, as followers of Christ from time to time, we feel torn between two desires. I would love to be in heaven right now. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more pressure, no more battle with sin. But I'm here. And God has me here for a season and a purpose. And Paul says that when I'm here, it's better for you that I'm here. He says, I long to go with Christ, but for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Here's the third thing that Paul understood when it came to this matter of being a person filled with gratitude and living in the moment. Paul's crisis advanced the gospel. Through his suffering, he gained courage, and so did others. Paul could say, you know what my goal is? My goal is to honor Christ in my life and in my death. Always trusting God to work things out. Choosing to rejoice, God will deliver. Philippians 1:27, Paul says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. Then whether I come to you and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. He says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been not given only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have been in this struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, we are in a struggle, we are in a battle, God knows all about it, our citizenship is really in heaven, don't get too enamored with this earth, we're just sojourners, we're just passing on through. And he says, I am so glad that God is using this suffering to fit us together, to build our faith, to allow the good news of the gospel to be shared. And he says, don't be intimidated, don't be fearful. What is the worst thing that somebody can do for you or to you? The worst thing they can do is take your life. And Paul says, that's not so bad, because when they take my life, I'm going up to heaven. So don't be intimidated by your enemies. Realize that they're one day going to be destroyed. The only hope they have is the gospel. We've struggled together. I love that. Struggling together. That's why I love the church so much. As we go through difficult times, we struggle together. Oftentimes when I do a funeral, the church will gather together. Sometimes I get called upon to do a funeral of somebody who has no family. And it always saddens my heart. They have no church family. And I gather together with friends. And the first question I want to ask is, where's the family? Where's the church? They had nobody to struggle together with. They went through life by themselves. Paul says, I'm still in the midst of struggling, but I'd much rather be in this struggle with you than out of this struggle without you. Here's the fourth thing that Paul talked about when he talks about living for the moment. You can live in the moment if you are consistently advancing the gospel. We learn that the church gained a lot of cooperation from other believers through verses 20 through 30. You know, I can be happy if I stay focused on my purpose and not my problems. Your problems will rob you of your purpose. Paul said, I want to be consistent in sharing the gospel. We're going to fight together, not against you, but with you. You see, more things aren't going to make me happy. But as we get together and self-sacrifice for one another, then we can give a life of help to others. How do we grow so strong? My life has got to be focused on others. My brother-in-law, on the back of his license plate for many years, had on his license tag simply the word others. And I asked him one day, I said, why did you choose that on the license plate? He says, I always want to be thinking about other people. He said, when I drive down the road, I want people to see my license plate, and I want to drive in a courteous manner, and I want to say, hey, you can go in front of me. You can go first. I want them to see that I put others before I put myself. You know, the way to spell joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Paul says that as he focused on the life of others, others were growing. Others were becoming more like Christ as he invested in them. As he invested in the life of others, they became more resilient. They saw Paul going through a hard time, and they said, you know, if Paul can make it, so can I. Why don't you be that person that people look at and say, you know what? If you can make it, so can I. Paul also said that he was living with heaven in mind, thinking about the future, not thinking about the nasty now and now, thinking about the future, how the future was going to be better. When I preached this message in our church, I asked our church to take a 7-day prayer challenge to pray with joy for others, to pray consistently for 7 days that their life would impact somebody else. You know, football games are never won or lost in the first quarter. They're never won or lost in the second quarter. They're never won or lost in the third quarter. It's always the fourth quarter. The last quarter determines who is going to win the game. As you look at your life, you may be in the first quarter of your life. You may be just getting started. You got a whole lot of life ahead of you. Hey, I want you to start well. Start strong. Get some disciplines in your life. If you want to take the challenge to read through God's Word this year, that'd be a great challenge. If you want to take the challenge to do Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Evening and Morning, you contact me and we'll get that devotional to you. If you're in the second quarter of your life, realize that you still got a lot of the game left. You're now playing long enough that you kind of know the game. You know the rules. You know how to have a little bit of success. You know some of the do's and don'ts. You've worked at it long enough that you haven't given up yet, but you still have a whole second half to go. Maybe you're a third quarter Christian. I think that's where I am. In the third quarter of my life, at 54 years old, I think that I'm in the third quarter of my life. I think that this is a pivotal time of my life. But my life is not going to be determined by the third quarter. It's how I finish up at the fourth quarter. Paul says, as he looked at his life, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want you to finish your life strong, realizing that God has got a big purpose for your life. Don't become weary in your well-doing. Remember that God has a reason for everything that is happening to you, and that reason is bigger than you. That reason is to give the gospel to somebody else. Paul says God never wastes a hurt. He comes alongside us, and he comforts us in our time of trouble so that we may comfort others in their time of trouble. So I want to encourage you today, as you're driving down the highway, maybe the traffic's a little bit heavy, maybe things are kind of putting a lot of pressure on you, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances. Don't be living under those circumstances. Live above those circumstances. Look at your life from the perspective that God is intervening in every phase of your life. If you're stuck in traffic right now, I want you to think about this. Maybe this is an opportunity for God just to slow you down and pray for that car ahead of you, that car behind you, that car next to you. You don't know what is happening in their lives. Maybe God has slowed you down just long enough so that you can pray for that person. Every once in a while when I get stuck in traffic, I'll roll down my window and I'll just lightly tap my horn. And I'll have that person next to me, I'll roll down that window and I say, hey man, how you doing? I just wanted to let you know that I've been thinking about you and I'm glad that I had a chance to meet you on this interstate. And I hope this traffic clears up really fast, but even if it doesn't, I'm glad I had a chance to say hello to you. And oftentimes that person will start laughing and they say, what are you, crazy? Have you lost your mind? Yes, I think I have lost my mind, but I think I've lost my mind to Christ, the mind of Christ, realizing that everybody needs to be encouraged from time to time. So I want to encourage you today, get into God's Word and allow God's Word to be a blessing to you. I'm going to close our broadcast with a prayer, and I want to pray for you specifically. You know, every Thursday morning at 5 a.m., I do a conference call prayer. If you'd like to be part of this conference call prayer, I'll be happy to give you the number so that you can call in Thursday morning at 5 a.m. We pray for an hour. There's about 15 people that are on that conference call. If you have a prayer request and you want to email it into me, or if you want to call it into me, I will mention that prayer request. I'll put it on an Excel spreadsheet. And not only do those 15 people pray for you on Thursday morning, but I send it out on an email to many people who will pray for you throughout the course of a week. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We pray that we will live in the moment, realizing that it is in the moment that we meet you. Lord, help us to slow down long enough to realize that you are in control. And maybe you have slowed us down for a purpose. I pray for those who are listening today that are going through a difficult time. Maybe there's somebody listening to me right now and he just got a divorce paper notice from his wife. Maybe there's somebody who's incarcerated and they're not sure about what their future's looking like. Maybe there's somebody who's listening today and they just had a miscarriage and their heart is broken. They have tried to have a baby and it seems like it's not coming together for them. Lord, would you bring healing to them? Lord, maybe there's somebody listening today and they just lost their job. They don't know how they're going to provide for their family. They're confused. They're angry. Lord, would you calm their spirit? Would you open up an opportunity for them to have a better paying job so they can take care of their family? We pray also for those who are struggling, maybe emotionally. I think about so many people who have mental illness. And maybe there's somebody's listening today, and as they look at their life, it's falling apart. Their mind is going in 50 different directions, and people are criticizing them, and they're at a point in their life they're ready to give up. Oh, Lord, would you allow them not to give up? Lord, there's so much hope that can be offered. And Lord, I think about the young lady who asked me to send her an email. And I sent her an email talking about the subject of suicide. And after reading that email, she says, I think I'm going to keep on living. I have a reason to live. Lord, I pray that those listening today will be blessed and will be encouraged. Lord, I pray for the one today that is really things are going good for them. I pray that in the goodness of this time, that they will see the hand of God in their lives. And instead of taking credit for all the good that's happening, they'll praise you. And not only will they praise you, but they'll share that blessing with others. And we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in with us today. We're really glad that you have listened today. I would love to talk with you. If you call me at 757-421-7500, I'd be happy to talk with you. And if you don't have a church home, why don't you come on and join us at Hickory Ridge Community Church every Sunday at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. I tell people all the time, we're the last church before you get into North Carolina, going down Battlefield Boulevard South. Come on in. We'd love to have you join us as we worship together. And we thank you for joining us today in this broadcast. Amen.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at hrcc7.org. And the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening. We'll be put in the mail. Now, if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry. But I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us, either through phone or email, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.